I'm David Lewis, Executive Director of Save the Bay. Save the Bay is the only regional organization that combines political advocacy, wetland restoration, and environmental education to protect and restore San Francisco Bay. For over 60 years, we've led effective campaigns to keep the bay clean and healthy. Today, we're preparing the whole Bay Area for the impacts of climate change, including here in San Jose. Join us on the shoreline as a volunteer or discover more ways to get involved at savesfbay.org. Let's create a resilient future together.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Boston Bruins tonight at 7:30 from SAP Center. 7:30 go time, 7 o'clock pregame, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Some news came down from the Sharks on Friday. Mike Greer announcing that the club has signed forward Campbell Lund to a standard entry-level contract. Greer said that Cam is a very talented player who brings speed, size, and skill to our group. We are excited to have him join the organization and look forward to watch him develop. In the statement from Sharks Communications, Lund, 20 years old, led Northeastern University with 18 goals and finished second for both assists, 22, and points with 40 this season, all career highs. A Hockey East third all-star team selection, Lund recorded 5 multi-point efforts over his final 9 collegiate contests and totaled 13 games with 2 or more points for the year, highlighted by a career-best 4-point game, 1 goal and 3 assists, which happened on November 9th versus Providence. He found the score sheet in each of NU's 3 postseason contests, posting 2 goals and 3 assists in the Hockey East tournament. Lund finished his collegiate career as a 2-time nominee for the Hobey Baker Memorial Award, earning the nod in each of his final 2 seasons with the Huskies. He tallied 93 points with a pair of hat tricks in 107 games over 3 seasons, earning a spot on the Hockey East Rookie All-Star Team, as well as Northeastern Rookie of the Year in 22-23. Prior to his collegiate career, Lund competed for the Green Bay Gamblers of the United States Hockey League in 2021 and 22, and recorded 50 points in 62 games, leading the team in goals and finishing second in points. The 6'2", 195-pound native of Bridgewater, Massachusetts, was originally selected by San Jose in the 2022 NHL Draft, second round, 34th overall. So more and more names continue to join the San Jose Sharks as they prepare for a future that is finally seeming closer than it is far. To get into all of this, we are now joined by Alan Hoshida, the host of Sharks Pre and Post Game Live on NBC Sports California. Al, what's happening, man? How's it going?
Not much, you know, just getting ready for Boston, Toronto, New York. That's a hell of a 3 in a row here for Sharks fans and us to watch, because we don't get to see those guys come through the Silicon Valley very often.
No, we do not, man. And what's interesting, and I know you and I were texting about this the other night as I pull people behind the curtain, but it's really interesting to me right now, Alan, watching the Sharks, because it is such a wildly different team than what we were talking about at the start of the year. And to your credit and your point, you always have said, like, look how hard they're still fighting regardless of the roster. But I mean, I think there were 10 guys on the roster on Thursday night that were not there on opening night. And that's not even counting some of the other names that could have been there, like a Noah Gregor, who's also a part of this team. Can you remember another team, not just hockey, but just around the Bay Area or even your sports coverage career, that has had this much turnover within one season? Because I don't think I can. I mean, I know there's been platooning situations with the Giants and the A's, but this feels wildly different.
I don't, like, the Farhan, was it 2020 or before? His first year when, like, Connor Joe came in through a second, and then they had Brett Beatty. I don't know if it's the same year, but if you combine that whole era with the Giants, like, there's a revolving door there. But within one year, I don't know if I can imagine or have seen something like this. And, like, I want to know, and I want to look this up, is how many different lineups they've had this year. Like, or I think maybe they've used the same lineup maybe 10 times this year.
Maybe.
That might be too many. And I think that might be the end. Like, out of 82 games, they might have used the same lineup 10 times, which there's no continuity there. And some of that is, you know, trades. Some of that is injuries. Obviously, injuries come into play. And then some of that is also just line shuffling, but they've done a lot of line shuffling, even when they had early on in the year, when they had the same guys kind of there. It was a lot of different lines trying to find the right combos. So not only have you had guys move in and out of the lineup, whether it's trade or injury, but you've also had different line combos, different D pairing, and you've seen it within games. So I think they're still trying to tweak things even when they have the guys in there. And then you have Kovalenko coming in and out. So yeah, to your point, it's been kind of crazy how different the team looks, but also even when there is a little bit of stability, it was also kind of always shuffling around. And even last night, like, you know, the Eklund, Celebrini, Toffoli line, that line we've seen together quite a bit, and it was playing pretty well. And then they moved Eklund down to the second line and gave Graf a shot at the first. And obviously, this late in the year, with 12 games or so, part of what the Sharks need to do is figure out what they actually have. And Graf earned that spot to see what he could do with that role. But even when things are going good, you know, to that point, is like they're still changing things just to kind of see how these things are going to work, who's going to work long term. And yeah, with all the things you could count on with the Sharks is there's going to be variables in the lineup, and they're probably going to be in the game of the third. Like, those are the two things you can count on all season long, is that the lineup and is going to be different from game to game. And then they're probably going to be very competitive into the third period. So I think, as inconsistent as the season been, it also has kind of been pretty consistent in certain aspects.
Yeah, and it's been entertaining. And you bring up Colin Graf, by the way, whose game, I've told you since day one that I was a big fan of it. But I interviewed him the other day after the win they had against Chicago, Al. And I think he's even grown since where he was a year ago. And I know that part of his narrative was that he didn't get drafted in his draft year because he was like shorter and he grew 5 inches or maybe more. But I feel like he's even bigger than he was a year ago when he first joined the Sharks, not just in his stature of like being like having lifted the weights a little bit more, but just in terms of his size. And it's funny because even though he doesn't look like the biggest guy, Al, you've noticed he's often deep in the slot, getting net front, getting opportunities. And that's not happening by accident.
You needed to start that whole with a graphic warning. You can't just dive into that like that. You need to give people a heads up that this is what's going to happen. Come on. We can't get all crazy with this graphic stuff that's happening. By the way, I think we've latched on to a couple of really great things over this year. And that's one, graphic warning. I think hopefully sticks around for a long time, or it's about to get graphic. And, you know, holy moly, it's a Foley. And, you know,
Winberg,
I'll go to the grave on this one. But the third and final one is the Calder-Brini. I think we've...
Well, that is your creation.
We came to those three things. And if anyone's out there making shirts, I would love all three of those shirts at some point. But back to your point of Graf. Yeah, he has grown. His game's looked a lot better. He's looked more confident. And I go back to the game we did with Jamal Mayers, and it was the Chicago game. You're right. With Wenberg and that play they had off of Graf's goal where he popped out into the slot, and it was kind of the no-look pass from Wenberg, and he rifled it in. And that was something that, you know, Jamal pointed out that they had been working together, and that's the chemistry. But you don't make that play early on in your career. That's something you have to play games and kind of have a feel like, Chicago's pinching here, I'm going to pop out to the slot. So he's learning on the fly. That's also why I kind of was a little surprised. As good as Graf was playing, it seemed like Wenberg and Graf had some really good chemistry. So to move things around and everyone's getting their shot and everyone's doing their thing, I was a little surprised by that move, only because I thought that line was kind of playing well. It was Graf, Wenberg, and Smith. So, back to your point, we're switching things around. We're trying things out, and that's what the Sharks should be doing right now too, because they should be trying to see what sticks and what doesn't stick and how are these guys going to work together long-term, because you do see Celebrini and Graf seem like they're going to be part of the core here for the next few years. And you want to see if Graf can play with Celebrini.
No, for sure. And the idea of next year of Celebrini and Graf and Toffoli maybe on a line is very exciting. So, we can see where this goes. But, the other new guys, because Graf isn't specifically a new guy, but let's go to Ostapchuk. I'm very much still trying to figure out his game. I like his size. I've seen him be physical a few times. He got a penalty the other night on Thursday. What's been your take on him in very limited capacity?
He's not wowing you, and it's not anything that's going to jump off the page or off the ice, But that's kind of what Mike Greer said when he talked about the trade, is that he's going to do the little things. And I've seen he's been pretty good on the draws, which is important. Something he also said that he worked on. He's also been physical. And I also saw a couple times against the Capitals in even last game where he was very keen on when to leave the ice. Like, he's not going to stay out there too long. Mm-hmm. At times. So his attention to detail is smart. So he's one of those players that it seems like he's going to stick to your system. He's going to know what he's doing, and he's going to play kind of the meat and potatoes hockey, kind of what you saw from the Hurricanes. And we talked about on post game, but the brand of hockey that Carolina plays is not flashy. It's not something you're going to be like, wow, I can't miss that game when the Hurricanes come through, because it's nothing that's going to wow you or, you know, set you on fire, but they do everything right. And they just keep doing it over and over and over and over again, shift after shift, until it wears the other team down. And that's what we saw, is that the Sharks just, after some time, they're playing pretty good, but, you know, that forecheck was on them all night, and they cough up some turnovers. They lose the puck there. And that was just because they did it over and over. So going back to Ostupchuk, if that's the type of player he is, that he's just going to keep doing the right things over and over and over again, and eventually it's going to wear down. You know, hopefully, as Greer said, he's going to be the matchup third line. Well, then that's going to just wear that top line down in the future, down of the opponent. And so Ostupchuk, I think, can be that. He's playing fourth line minutes right now on the fourth line. But I've liked his game, and I think he's pretty, you know, he's pretty steady. I don't think he's – also, I haven't really seen him get caught too many times, which is also something to be said, I guess, especially when you're playing in that role.
What about Giles? Because he's a guy who
I liked him too.
I didn't really know what to expect, but he's big and he can move. Like, there have been many times where he's been out there kind of flying on the ice, and it's been a pleasant surprise.
And you saw him in the Delandria. They had a chemistry last game, and they were flying around. They created some scoring chances. I like Giles too. I think he has a little more zip to his game than Ostupchuk, even though he's 6'5". Like, he's a little more north-south. He's going to bring you with speed. And so I think that's – I think, like I said, on pre and post here, the last so-on game since the trade deadline, it's clear what Greer was doing at the deadline. Vinny Desharnais is 6'7", and he's a physical player, and he's not going to do – a lot of the extra, but he's going to go north and south. He's going to lean on guys. You saw him clear people out in front of the net. And then you got Ostupchuk and you have Giles. I think whether or not they stick here long-term, because that's also, we don't know. We don't know about any of these guys really, like, other than, you know, the young core, the teenagers. Well, Will Smith is now 2 decades old, but that's, they needed to bring some of that in. They needed to be a little bit harder to play against. They needed to have a little more of their game like the Capitals and like the Hurricanes, where they can just lean on people. Because again, even next year, and I shouldn't say even next year, because we don't know, they have millions and millions of dollars to get to the salary floor, so they could make some drastic changes. But let's say they do not have the talent depth against other teams. You have to wear teams down. Like, you have to make it ugly games. You have to muddy the water. You have to be scrappy. These are all cliches, but when you don't have the high-end talent to go four lines against the top teams in the league, sometimes you have to grind out games, and it's going to be the big bodies who can wear down these other teams. So I think, yeah, Giles has been good. Ostupchuk's been good. Desharnais, I liked him. I liked all those guys, and they're all over 6'3". They're massive humans.
What did you think of Luka?
Luka, you know, I was sitting with Mark Smith, and I think just your first game, I almost kind of give him a wash in your first game, especially the first period, because, like, think of what you're doing to reach this. You're reaching your goals. And I, on a lesser stage, like, the very first pregame we ever did, this was – the job that I always wanted. And, like, I don't even know what happened in that show. Like, you just don't know, because you're just, like, kind of in a different headspace of, like, what's happening and everything. And then he settled in, started playing a little bit. You could see that he wanted to be offensive. He stepped up a couple times, one particularly, I think, in the second period, it got past him. And then there was a 2-on-1 situation, which is going to be learning experiences, but he settled in. And then on that 6-on-4 power play at the end of the game, he was very good. And so I think he played 23 minutes too. So it's not like they were easing him into the game. I'm just, you know, it's his first game. He just realized his dreams. I'm not ready to tell one way or the other, but I think there's signs. Like he could break the puck out. He was pretty poised. He had some plays in front of the net that he didn't get pushed out of the way. So that's good. And I think we're just going to see more and more of this over the next handful of games, how many he gets here, to see kind of where he is. And it's also going to help him know where now with this offseason. Obviously he had a good offseason coming into this season. He needs another one to now try and make the Sharks full time. But I'm excited. I think he's dynamic by all the highlights I've seen and just seeing him at a little bit of preseason and training camp. I think he has potential here. And he's 5'9", right? And he has still pushed his way all the way up here. It's been a crazy rise. And I asked Randy and Drew, when was the last time the Sharks had a homegrown offensive defenseman with this type of buzz being called up? And their answer, Ted, I don't know if you saw, was Sandis Ozilinch. That was 1998.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
So, like that's one thing about the Sharks is they've developed some forwards, and then they had Brad Stewart, they Scott Hannon who's come through, Matt Carl before he traded, and Marc-Edouard Vlasic obviously, but they never really developed their own quarterback, their
Yeah, I
own
mean,
offense
Burns
guy,
and Carlson and Boyle all came from the outside.
right? And so if they can do that, and you don't have to go out and make that trade, that'd be great to see. I hope it happens. I love Kenyoni. I love saying his name. I hope that the Sharks fans come up with some, of the family little Italian slogan for him, because that would be
Yeah.
great. I love that little Godfather action. Yeah, I think he'd be a great story. He wasn't drafted by in the Bantam draft, like all these things against this kid. Because again, his size, he was 5'2" when at that time, 5'2", you're not getting drafted, and he just kept going, kept pushing, and.
Yeah.
I think it's been great to see it. Hopefully he shows what he can do the next 10 games or so.
Speaking of defensemen, I thought that Shakir Mukhmandulin maybe had his best game against Carolina, and just watching him use his physicality more, watching him, close out on guys and really just being much more aware on the ice. We're watching that development happen in real time. And I don't know if you guys played it in the post game, but he talked about how important these reps are. And I feel like that's something that does get lost. Everybody's always waiting for these guys to become, their peak player in, one short season or not even an entire year. But I mean, the difference he showed from the end of last year to where he is now, but especially in that game on Thursday night, he looked like a disruptive large defenseman out there on the ice.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone wants to see. He's also another big dude. I think six, what is he, 6'7" on skates? Six
Gotta be,
five?
yeah.
He's huge. And he's using that body. He's using his reach. He's using his stick way more. He's killing way more plays. He's spinning off of forecheckers way more often. Now the next thing I think for him is that next breakout pass or the pass. But you can only do these things in stages, right? So I think the first stage was being strong defensively and killing plays, as Drew would say, and making sure that you're not allowing offense to just flow in the offensive or in your defensive zone. So he's doing that. He's looked really good here since coming back from the Four Nations. I do say, like, I didn't love the play that he basically shot the puck on net that ended up not being a goal, but there's also, some things there that, Romanov also could have covered that puck. So there's little things that you're learning, but to go back to your rep things, that's also going to the reps. Like you have to put these things. You also have to make mistakes. I don't know about anybody else in life, but the more mistakes you make, probably the more you learn. And if you're going to make mistakes, you probably want to do it in a 18 to 20 win season when the odds aren't, when the pressure isn't there. But you also have to be in those moments, like we talk about, like you have to be in the final five of a game to be under pressure to have to make the right play. Yet last game, Will Smith backpedaling shoots it delay over glass again. But you have to be in those situations to learn what not to do. You can't expect a young player, if the stakes are really high, to throw him out there and then not make mistakes if he's never been in that situation. So as hard as these times are as a fan to watch these growing pains, they have to happen. They can't, like, even with Celebrini, he's going to take everything that he can take. he turns the puck over a little bit. That's just what's going to happen. But he has to have these reps because down the line, he's going to have the scar tissue and say, okay, I know I can't do this. I can't do this. And he'll not only that, he'll know I can't do this about X, Y, against X, Y, and Z player, because it's also about knowing who's on the ice and who you're on the ice with, where you can get away with things against this player, but not against that. And unless you're playing in those games against those players, you don't know, right?
Hear more of that interview tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. We are out of time again. 7:30 go time, 7 o'clock pregame, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey. I'll see you tomorrow morning. I'm signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.